Turning now in the New Testament to Paul's letter to the Colossians, we begin reading at chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which ye have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, bringeth forth fruit as it doth also in you, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Thus far God's holy, infallible, and precious word. When the prophet Elijah came to Zarephath, he met there a widow woman, and when he asked her for something, she said, "As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Dear friends, in this week of self-examination that now lies behind us, the question is, what do you have? What have you discovered? If it is right, we discover more and more how little and really how nothing it is that we have apart from the Lord and His grace. And if you can see something of your own emptiness, but also something of the fullness which is in Jesus Christ, then that is not something, but that is everything. As the Apostle Paul also understood and proclaimed, and as we have it in the words of our text for this morning's service, in Colossians chapter 1, the 19th verse. Colossians chapter 1, verse 19. These words, "For it pleased the Father that in Him," that is in Christ, "should all fullness dwell." Our theme with the Lord's help this morning is all fullness in Christ. We will see it declared in Revelation, experienced in salvation, and tasted in communion. All fullness in Christ, declared in Revelation, experienced in salvation, and tasted in communion. First of all, declared in Revelation, Paul is writing from prison to the Colossians who have experienced a number of teachers coming into their ranks, who told them that they needed something in addition to Christ. Some philosophy or teaching, some set of rituals alongside and in addition to Christ. How the devil loves this error of something alongside Christ. And from pit prison, Paul is on an errand to magnify his Savior. And by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he climbs, as it were, the Everest of human language in order to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. In the verses that precede our text, he calls the Lord Jesus Christ the image of the invisible God. He refers to Him as the firstborn of all creation. He calls Him the head of the church and the firstborn of the dead. And He says all these things in order that Christ, as the Father had designed it, might have all the preeminence, as we read in verse 18. Why should Christ have all the preeminence? Well, this is what He's going to tell us in verse 19. For it pleased the Father that in Him, in Christ, should all the fullness dwell. God the Father, and really the whole triune God in Him, because the Father represented, in the councils of eternity past, He represented the whole Godhead. And it was determined there that in Christ should all the fullness dwell. Now, what is this fullness? This fullness ought to be understood as a mediatorial fullness. Christ's fullness as the surety of His people. Elsewhere, Paul refers to the fullness in Christ as His essential fullness. If you were to turn over to Colossians 2 verse 9, we read, "Therefore in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." All of divinity is in Christ. Even when He took to Himself that human nature from the Virgin Mary and became man, like unto us in all respects, sin excepted, even then He had the fullness of the Godhead in Himself. And we know that, don't we, children? Because Christ was able to do things during His days on the earth that only God could do. Not only the miracles that He did, but also He could forgive sins, which alone God can do. And even during His time here on the earth, something of the great eternality of Christ shone through, especially at certain times before Abraham was. He said to the Jews, He said, "I am." Something of the glory of the Godhead of Jesus Christ radiated through in His speaking, in His miracles, in His life. And in His dying on the cross, His divinity upheld Him, dimmed it in His one sacrifice on the cross. But when Paul says here in Colossians 1 verse 19 that all fullness dwells in Christ, he doesn't mean here this fullness of His divinity. He means rather the fullness of redemption, the fullness of mediation, the fullness of the salvation of His people was in Christ and is in Christ. It pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. The totality of all of redemption lies anchored, concentrated, fixated in Jesus Christ. So what does this mean? One commentator puts it like this: every grace as it is needed, and when it is needed, in every variety and phase of operation, every grace, whether to nurse the babe, or to sustain the mature, to excite the new life, or to foster it, to give pardon and the sense of it, faith and the full assurance of it, purity and the felt possession of it, every blessing for health and sickness, for duty or trial, for life or death, for body, for soul, for earth or for heaven, for time or for eternity, is wrapped up in the fullness of Jesus Christ. Everything is in Him. And notice how Paul doesn't simply say here that the fullness was in Christ, but notice how he says it. All fullness. It wasn't just some of the fullness that was there in Christ and is there in Christ. Neither is it most of the fullness was in Christ. No, all fullness. Your congregation, Paul is declaring this through the Spirit. He's revealing it to us here, all fullness. All fullness. Everything you need for time and for eternity, for forgiveness, for holiness, for sanctification, for glorification, everything is in Him. And Paul reaches here into the utter into the outward spaces of human vocabulary in order to set this forth before us. Not only that we would simply know this at an intellectual level and agree with it even in our minds and heads, but as we see in our second point, He speaks this way in order that we might experience this in salvation. Fullness. How different this is from what we find in ourselves. Oh, indeed, we were created, you and I, all of us were created in such a way that whatever God had intended us to be, we were full of it. We were full of an original righteousness. Full of that holiness in which God had created us, knowledge there in the garden. There's no deficiency in us as God created us in paradise. God could look down from the heights of heaven, from His throne, and He could look upon His creation and also upon man, and He could say it was very good. It pleased Him. We might say, using the words of our text, that in our original state, it pleased the Father that in us should all the fullness dwell that God intended for us to have as His image bearers here on the earth. So what has happened? Has in this past week your emptiness stared you in the face? Your emptiness to do anything good in and of yourself. Your barrenness with respect to the spiritual things that God calls for from you, His image bearer. Your unwillingness and your inability to please Him as you ought. It's a remarkable thing, congregation, but even this knowledge of our emptiness, think of this for a moment. Just think of this. The knowledge of our emptiness flows from the fullness which is in Christ. Because if you know this about yourself, that you are devoid of anything that is good with respect to God, you haven't taught yourself that. It's a blessing that has come to you from out of the fullness which is in Jesus Christ. If, like the Apostle Paul, you have learned that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. That is something that comes to you from out of the fullness which is in Jesus Christ as the Spirit brings it to bear on your life. And the Lord teaches you those things and you realize really how bad it is with you. And you learn it again and again. It's not a one-time experience that somehow happens in the distant past and you kind of forget that indeed, that's often indeed how it happens, but that's not right. And in weeks of preparation, we are called to examine ourselves. To take our souls and our bodies, our minds and our hearts. To grab them as it were and to drag them before the law of God. Before the ordinances of God. Before the gospel of God. And to say, search me, O God. And know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And, oh Lord, there are so many wicked ways. My sins are more than I can count. The Lord, forgive and lead me in the way everlasting. Oh dear friends, if that has been your week of preparation, that's something that comes forth from the fullness of the Son. Think of that. Even that is contained within this one of whom the Father says it pleased me that all the fullness would dwell in the Son. Oh dear friends, when the fullness of Jesus Christ bears upon you, that's when you see your emptiness. When you run stuck there with this only one who has it all. In comparison to whom you are nothing. You're empty of all that you need. Oh dear friends, it comes forth from the fullness of the Son. If we learn to realize that even our religious things, even our righteous acts are devoid of that which pleases the Lord, comes forth from the fullness that is in the Son. It comes forth from the fullness of the Son when you see that all around you in this world there's nothing. There's emptiness with respect to what is pleasing unto the Lord. You know, it's a blessing that comes straight out of the fullness of this Lord Jesus Christ. When you look out over this world and you realize that up till now you have been feeding yourself with the husks which will not satisfy you. They're empty. They're vain. It comes out of the fullness which is in Jesus Christ when you realize that never in all your religious acts in this life, you'll be able to attain anything that will be pleasing unto the Lord. Young people, remember this. Because you especially, though older ones as well, but you are tempted to think, and the world is out to get you to think this way, and the devil loves it when you think this way, that Christ indeed is important. But you need something in addition. You need something extra. You need some theory, some philosophy, some ritual, some experience, some knowledge to add to Christ. Oh, what an insult this is to the Father and the Son and the Spirit. Because it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. Oh, what a self-emptying fullness this is when it's blessed to your heart and to your soul. The Lord do that work in your heart this past week, also with respect to the Lord's Supper. That you lost every ground in yourself once again. Isn't it an amazing thing, dear believers, how we need to lose it again and again? Sometimes we think we've learned the lesson and it'll stick and it'll be there next time. That old nature was governed by that principle of works righteousness. The covenant of works is there again and again. The Lord so needs to bring His fullness to bear upon our little supposed fullnesses that they're eradicated. And once again, we confess with that widow of whom we have read, we have nothing left. Dear friends, this is learned at Calvary. This is learned there where the Lord opens up your eyes to the fountain that He alone is for sinners. It's at Calvary that this Lord Jesus Christ, who is so full of every blessing imaginable, and how He opens that up in Himself, in His wounds and in His side, for guilty, wretched sinners like you and like me. When the Spirit blesses that to your own heart, you get rid of your little fullnesses, supposed fullnesses. You lose your crown, you overturn it, and you realize that it's in Him and Him alone. You abandon all your broken cisterns for that one and only fountain of living water in Jesus Christ. You learn to see what Paul goes on to say in verse 20. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Dear congregation, I am here to speak to you from out of the cross of Jesus Christ. It's full. It's full for sinners. Full of plenteous redemption, full of pardon for the vilest. In Him there is a fullness of perfect obedience to the law and demands of God. He's so full of mercy, so full of compassion, so full of willingness to save wretched sinners like you and like me. and answer this question, what could be fuller than full? If I had a cup that was full, it's full. You can't fill it up anymore. And so too, Christ is full. He is fullness. He is all fullness. There's nothing that you can add to Him. And there's nothing that you can take away from Him either. In the sense that He would lose His fullness. He is this fullness. Countless sinners have gone to Christ with all their emptiness. And Christ is still the fullness. Is none the emptier for all the sinners who've applied to Him? Oh, my dear unconverted friend this morning, what will you do with this fullness? How can you resist this fullness? Know this, that if you continue as you are, there is a fullness in Him, but it is a fullness that if you do not bow before this fullness, if you do not lose all your arguments to His fullness, oh, He is full of power. He is full of holiness. He is full of anger as well for those who slight His mercies. And He can cast you away. Such is His fullness. Cannot this morning His fullness conquer your wayward heart? To whom else can you go? There is a fullness to be found in Him. And He is that fullness today. He is fullness. It's not so that you have to wait perhaps another 3 years or 10 years until He is more full. No, He is all the fullness today. You don't know how long you have. He is full also today. Oh, seek it with Him. Oh, that His fullness would come to bear on your life and drive away all those things that you're trusting in, all those idols. All that self-righteousness, all those excuses, that they would be taken away and blasted away by His fullness so that you would lose it to this full Christ. That is the experience of salvation which each and every one of us needs. And believers, how we need this again and again. It must be a living off of His fullness. My dear believing friend, again and again in your life, your own well runs dry as it always does. Oh, to then find that eternal fullness which lies in the heart of God, in Jesus Christ. And to have that not only revealed, not only experienced, but to also, as we see in our third and final point briefly, tasted in communion. For notice how our text says it. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. It dwells in Him. It doesn't just flow through Him. He's not just simply some kind of conduit through which the fullness dwells and is there one moment and gone the next. No, it says that it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. It's permanent in Christ. It's there today and it's there tomorrow. It's not so, dear believer, that it was there 20 years ago when the Lord grabbed you from your sin and from the miry clay into which you had cast yourself, or that somehow that fullness has diminished. No, it pleased the Father that in Him should all the fullness dwell. No, you and I can't contain it. That's our problem. We lose it. We are those conduits, don't we, that are so broken that lose it again and again. And really the Lord would have it so in this life at least, in order to exalt Himself and the fullness of His Son. He abides faithful. In Him all fullness dwells. It's an undiminishable fullness. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. There's a bountiful fullness in Him. And as we prepare to come to the table of the Lord, dear believing friends, just think and reflect with me for a moment of all that has come forth from this fullness through Calvary, from out of Christ, by the Spirit into your life. Oh, that the Lord would give us that adoring posture that Paul has here, that we would, in our mind and in our heart, that we would scan the horizon of our life and we'd be lost for words. We'd have to pile words on top of words in order to fathom this preeminence of Jesus Christ, the head of all. My dear believing friend, the Bible has come to you out of His fullness. You don't deserve it. But He has given you your Bible from His fullness. Your new birth, dear believer, came forth from His fullness. Your providence daily comes forth from His fullness. The difficulties of life, they too come forth from His fullness. Those contrary providences, those crooks in the lot of which you say, what is the Lord aiming at in this? Why is this coming to me? Have you ever thought of it this way? They are coming forth from the fullness which lies in Jesus Christ. Also those, your daily life and your daily provisions come forth from His fullness. The promises of the gospel come forth to you by the Spirit through His fullness. Your conversion, dear believer, has come forth from His fullness. Your ministers that ministered to you in the past and from week to week, they have come forth from His fullness. Your sanctification, dear believer, comes forth from His fullness. Whatever comes your way in life and in death comes out of the fullness of God in Jesus Christ. He who spared not His own Son but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not freely with Him also give us all things? With Him they come forth from the fullness which is in Jesus Christ. This table that is set for you, dear believing friends, this morning comes forth from His fullness. The chairs come forth from His fullness. The places around the table come forth from His fullness. The bread, the wine, the communion, it's all from His fullness. Even your relish of His fullness, even that comes forth from His fullness. It pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Oh, my dear believing friends, isn't this the root of our problem? We don't believe enough the testimony God has given regarding His Son. Somehow, you and I both, we manage to fix ourselves upon our supposed fullness. Or we fix ourselves upon our own emptiness. We try to scrap together a few beggarly elements put together on a heap. The Lord has to come with the fullness that is in Jesus Christ and burn it all away until we are settled entirely in Him again. But why, you say, but why would God have all this mediatorial fullness dwell in Christ? It pleased the Father
that in Him all fullness should dwell. I don't know why, except that it pleased Him. When you trace all of this back, there's simply one word. It's the word, the Lord's good pleasure. His love for sinners. You can't go behind that. It pleased the Father. Why did it please Thee, Lord? It pleased the Father. The celebration, the bitter death, the Lord Jesus Christ can only be entered upon with this adoration that says, why, Lord? Why me? To which the Lord's Supper speaks these words, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. He has put Him to grief. But in that way, all fullness dwells in Him. Oh, may the Lord give that experience to His praise and to His glory alone. Amen.